song to sing, wasn't it? And it's also got in that song some great promises. One of those promises in the third verse was that one from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Do you know that one? It says, "For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Rightio, I'd just like to, it's great that Steve could say something about Robin C. And you live in a good part of the world down there at Good Beach. And it's lovely to see you when you come up and visit. And we hope it's going well there. I believe you've got a Bible study group in the neighbourhood as well, which is fantastic. Yeah. Someone else who's going is Richard. So Richard, how would you like to come up here? No, I told you it was not going to happen. But Richard is going. It's all happened very quickly. And so, Richard, we're going to really miss you. We do pray that everything would go well for you. Are you going to be going to where your sister is in that area? Yeah. So that's lovely that you and your sister can be close together again. So, don't forget to pray for Richard. And also, great to see Isaac back after going over to the Philippines. And I know many of us in the church have been praying for the situation over there after the pastor, went home to glory. But leaving the church, so we're praying that God will really raise up people to help the church continue. Yeah, great to see you, Isaac, and it's really lovely what you could do as the Lord led you to go. Yep. I know this week's been a bit of a full week too for our family. Colleen's dad, we thought we might have lost him on Friday. He had blood clots in his lungs, and yesterday he made quite a remarkable recovery late yesterday. So just pray for the family as time sort of goes on and his mesothelioma and the blood clots as well that have been occurring. And don't forget too, tonight we continue the sermon series on Pilgrim's Progress. And tonight we are going to be looking at the third chapter of Pilgrim's Progress, which is entitled The Cross. That sounds pretty exciting. And Pilgrim's Progress is a fantastic book that highlights the Christian journey, and we'll be doing a message based upon that chapter that we'll be looking at tonight. All right, time to pray before we look at God's Word. Our Father, thank you for your Word that was read to us. Thank you for the book of Acts, for this wonderful historical account of the birth of your church that we're part of, the beginning days of it, after the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit that came powerfully upon all those who believed in Jesus, and that's continued till this day. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit and for the acts of the Spirit in our lives that we see so clearly in the book of Acts. We're coming close to the end of this great book, and we ask that you would help us as we look at this section in the Bible. There's some interesting things in the account today, but we thank you for the great lessons that we can learn from it. So we ask that you would help us to have an open heart and to be taught by you as we lay ourselves before you this morning to take in your word. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the second last sermon I'll be doing on the book of Acts. I want to start off by saying a few times now I've had the opportunity to see a TV series entitled "I Shouldn't Be Alive." Has anyone seen this? It's crazy as. So you see people who shouldn't be alive. They go through incredible circumstances and yet they survive. One that I saw recently, I was just riveted to it, was a guy who was mauled by a big grizzly bear. And I can't go into it too much because it was full on, right? But basically, after shooting the bear in this fight with it, he ended up standing up. And the adrenaline was still kicking around and he realized he couldn't stand. He looked down and half his legs missing. And you see an archery just hanging there, you know. I don't know how they do it because they're acting out the real events. And I couldn't believe how could a person survive like that? And as I think about those sort of stories, the other thing that I can't help but think of, I don't know if you do the same, I can't help but think, I wonder how this event has affected their life. Do you ever think that? Like, if you have a near miss, if you survive something incredible, you'd think it would have an impact upon your life, wouldn't it? You know, like, I'm going to live a better life, or hopefully more than that, I'm going to seek out this God who has allowed me to live. Yeah, so, but we don't know, do we, what happens? As I think of Paul's cruise experience. Let's call it a nice cruise he went on. From Caesarea to Rome, as recorded in Acts 27, which we looked at last week. I reckon his story could have made the TV series I Shouldn't Be Alive. What do you reckon? If it was around back then. 276 people on board not a super liner like we have, but a small boat. And there they were, hit by hurricane force winds on the open sea. And they should have all died. They should have. And not only that, as they were coming in, they hit a reef and the boat broke up. They should have all died. Or at least one person should have died. But they all survived. How did that happen? What an amazing story that is. And I can't help but also wonder, I wonder what impact that event had on all the people on board. Not only that, they had the Apostle Paul on board. They would have heard the Apostle Paul tell them all that he had an angel of the Lord come and speak to him and say to him that no one would die, only the ship would perish. And it happened. Can you imagine the impact of those words upon everybody on that ship? Not only that, I can imagine the Apostle Paul doing something. Surely we would know what that is. He would have been speaking about Jesus. They would have been hearing about this great God and Savior. I wonder what impact that great event had on those people on board that ship. How many of those people sought after Christ and came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Well, we don't know. But I know it does happen. Incredible experiences have led to the conversion of people. And this morning I just want to tell you a little bit of the story of a man who was a sea captain who happened to be in a big storm as well. This sea captain was a horrible man. He forced African people from their homes and their tribes onto a ship, and then he would take them to America to sell them in order to make money. This man constantly raped the African women on board the ship. When people were sick or close to death, he would throw them overboard where shark packs would follow the ship. It was so regular. This man blasphemed God. He made it a sport to destroy the faith of anybody on his ship who believed in God or who believed in Jesus. But then one day it happened. He was on the high seas in the Atlantic Ocean when a great storm came upon that ship. And all hands were called on deck. He was down below at that time, the sea captain, and so he came up through the onto the deck. But just before he got there, someone pushed by past him, went onto the open deck, and was swept to his death. He knew all his life that should have been me. Should have been me. But here I am. He went onto that open deck, and it was quite incredible what happened. He could see how powerful the storm was, and it could be very likely that they would all die. And this sea captain had an incredible experience. In his mind flashed by all these images. Images that he had suppressed for a long time. Images that he had been taught by his godly mother. Images of one day standing before the throne of God. One day being judged. One day being found out for our sins. One day being cast into the lake of fire. And this man began to realize the reality of it. And he began to realize another great reality that he had suppressed all his days. The reality of Jesus. The Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the one who came to save us from our sins. And on that deck, on that open deck, it all came to him in a moment. And he fell on his knees and he prayed and cried out, Lord Jesus, save me. Save me, a wretched man. And by God's amazing grace, he was saved. And his name is John Newton. The man who wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace. I can't sing that hymn without thinking of that story. Every time I sing it, what amazing grace he was shown. What amazing grace we have been shown. That storm changed his life. And what a life it was. He didn't just become a saved person. He went on to become a preacher of the word. He went on to become a great hymn writer. He went on to become, with William Wilberforce, a man who fought for the abolition of slavery in the British Empire. He came to be a great blessing. He was a man so blessed and he was a great blessing to so many people. And this morning, that's what I want us to see as we look at the story of Acts 28. I want us to see in this first half of Acts 28, a man named Paul. He had been miraculously saved himself. And I want to see what a blessing Paul was, even as he continued on after this amazing survival story in Acts 27. So this morning we're going to be looking at the phrase, blessed to be a blessing. And it's a wonderful phrase to grasp hold of. It really comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We were speaking about Abraham earlier on this morning. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God says, "And I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing." And if you can't, if you think through that, how blessed we have been who've come to know Jesus. And we've been blessed to be a blessing as well. So let's consider this passage this morning. And let's start off by reading verses 1 to 3 of Acts 28. When they had been brought safely through, that is, they survived the storm and the shipwreck, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. Rightio, we'll just leave the viper story for the moment. As I look at this, Luke is the one who writes the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he remarks that the natives showed extraordinary kindness to them. But I look at this story and I see something else that also is remarkable to me. And it's the Apostle Paul. I can't help but be caught up by those words in verse 3 that Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. And I'm thinking, you know, that might not be much, but I'm thinking, hang on, he's just survived a shipwreck. He's just been on the open water, being tossed by a magnificent and powerful storm. And there he is. What is he doing? He's picking up sticks. He's not laying back on the beach waiting for other people to serve him. He is serving others. Do you see that? I find that's remarkable. I don't know what you'd be doing. Just laying back. I've had enough. He's up and about gathering sticks. And what hits me is this incredible truth that this is actually such a lovely, simple picture of how a Christian is. A Christian is a person who loves to serve no matter what. And that's because we have been so served by God himself. Doesn't matter whether we've just come out of a storm or not. The thing that should be in our heart is to serve. To serve others. I love the stories in the Bible about this. One of them is Peter's mother-in-law. Listen to that. In Mark chapter 1, 30 and 31. It says, "Now Peter's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And Jesus came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her. And then she sat back and went to sleep." No, it doesn't say that. She served them. She got up and served them. I think of Jesus himself. What about that moving story in John chapter 13 where Jesus is fully aware that that very night he would be taken and arrested and the next day crucified. And this is what it says in John 13, 4 and 5. Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he wrapped it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was around him. You see what he's doing? He's serving. He's serving. He even says later on that he was setting an example for the disciples to follow. We are to be people who serve. So I go back to Paul and I can't help but see him. This is, of all times, the time Paul, to put your feet up. Sit back and relax. You just survived an incredible storm. But no, he's serving. He can't help it. Because the great God who lives in him is a God who serves. Think of Jesus, who said those words, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Friends, does that capture our life? Do we serve? What about this point? Paul is picking up sticks. I would call that a menial task, a low job. He was doing some big tasks on the boat, like preaching and encouraging all the people, but here he's picking up sticks. Do we serve doing the menial tasks? Do we serve each other? Do we serve on the roster? Do we clean the toilets? Do we sweep the chapel? Do we do the menial tasks? We're meant to. Jesus did. Paul did. We are meant to be servants, serving one another. That's a bit of a challenge, especially when we can be so caught up in doing, if there's going to be any service, it's got to be the big ones, you know, where you might get a bit of recognition. What we need to learn to do is to serve even in the menial tasks as well. We've been so blessed by a God who has so served us, who gave himself for us, and he calls us to follow him, to serve his people, to serve other people as well, just like we see Paul doing. I'm amazed, picking up sticks after surviving an incredible storm. Well, let's continue on looking at this story. I'm going to read now from verse 3 again, down to verse 6. So when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." However, Paul shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. You've got to picture this, right? You know, all their eyes are on him, right? They're looking. He's going to drop over soon. Surely he's going to swell up and explode. I don't know what they're thinking. But anyway, they're thinking of all these crazy things. But it says, but after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Well, this is all crazy. Wow, he's a murderer. He's going to die. He must be a god. What a change. I look at them and I can't help but think they were so unsettled in their thinking, so unsettled. But I look at Paul and I see something else that's so incredible. Paul, on the other hand, is so settled. He gets bitten by a viper, just brushes it off and shakes it in the fire. He doesn't even freak out. Who would be freaking out now? He's not even freaking out. I remember Colin and I had a bit of a laugh about this story. Last year in May, we were down in the Dandenong Ranges in Victoria on the Puffing Billy. And you can sort of put your head out the carriage and look at the beautiful countryside, and some people, all of us were doing that. And one guy did this, and he's got his head out there, and all of a sudden, he starts to behave like a pork chop. Honestly, it was crazy as. What's going on? It looked like he was going to, you know, thinking he's going to die and all that. What happened is he got some soot in his eye. All right? Some soot in his eye. And it's just drama. All this drama is occurring. So unsettled was he. But I think in contrast, look at Paul. No drama. He is so settled. Why is he so settled? Have you thought through why he is so settled? Just been bitten by a viper. Obviously a poisonous snake, because they're expecting the natives know the island. They're expecting him to die. Why is Paul so settled? There's three great truths, I reckon, that keep us settled. Every Christian should experience this. These are the great truths that should keep us settled. Our God is sovereign. Life is in his hands. And even if we should die, all praise to God, because we've got a home to go to in heaven. That brings such peace, such a settledness into our life. I see Paul's settledness in the storm. He's not behaving like a pork chop on the ship either. He is speaking to the people. He's encouraging the people. And I want to say this, friends. God is the one who enables his people to be settled in the midst of the storms of life, no matter what is going on, so that we might be in a position to strengthen others. Or another way to put it, to bless others. That's what the Apostle Paul did on the boat. He strengthened others. God made him to be settled, and he could strengthen everybody on board that boat. It doesn't say that that's what he's doing here in this section, but I can imagine that Paul, being so settled, was able to still be in a position of strength in order to encourage those about him. That's how it should be for the Christian. I can't help but think of how blessed we are as children of God. God has given us great blessing. He has filled our soul with His peace, a peace beyond comprehension. He has caused us to come to a place of great settledness. And He's done that so that you might be like a rock in a world that is so all over the place, that you might be able to minister and strengthen those about you. What a picture that is. We've been so blessed to be a blessing. Well, let's read the next few verses of Acts chapter 28, verses 7 to 10. Now in the neighbourhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island, named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. Back in those days, that's really serious. And Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. After this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting cured. They also honored us with many marks of respect, and when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all we needed. Again, I can't help but see the Apostle Paul being such a blessing. I look at this story and I see how Paul is doing what he can to bless other people. He is supplying from all the supply that God has given him, he is supplying other people with good gifts to bless and to help. God uses him to heal other people on that island who were sick. Don't forget, after a shipwreck, after an amazing storm, look at Paul, just giving. Reminds me of the story earlier on in Acts chapter 3, verses 3 to 6, we read these words. And when the paralyzed man saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive gifts. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What a picture. Peter and John giving to that man what they had. God had well supplied them, and look at them pouring into this man what they had. That's what Paul is doing here in Acts 28. What a wonderful picture it is. God has well supplied us, has He not? And we are meant to be blessing other people. If we have been gifted by God, we are to heal others. We are also to care for others. We are to help others. Think of the words of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18. "But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue only, but in deed and truth." God challenges us to be those who give, who bless other people. And above all things, we are to be giving out the gospel. We are to be sharing the gospel to those around us. Just think about the gospel. God has supplied you the knowledge of the truth. God has entrusted you with His gospel. What do you do with it? Do you just keep it to yourself, or do you share it? That's what you're meant to be doing. Sharing the gospel with those around us. We spoke a few weeks ago about sharing your testimony. Have you done that recently? Sharing your testimony, sharing aspects of the gospel with the people around us. God has well supplied you with His grace and salvation, and we are to be doing that to the people around us. Philippians chapter 4, 19, it says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you know that verse? What a great verse. He not only has supplied all our needs through Jesus, but continues to supply all our needs. God fills you up to the top. The Christian is meant to be a person whose cup is full and overflowing, so that we might be a blessing to others. Remember what I said about John Newton? John Newton was not a selfish Christian. He was a selfless Christian. He understood the grace of God. He became a preacher of the word, giving out the word. He became a great hymn writer so that we might sing hymns of the faith. He blessed the church. He blessed the nation of the British Empire by helping abolish slavery. See how what a blessing he was. What a great man of God John Newton was. He was blessed to be a blessing and he was a great blessing. That's how it's meant to be for every Christian. We have been blessed so much in Christ and we are to be a blessing to others. At the moment, the Kimberleys have had a big wet, as they call it. A really big wet. It's been raining heaps up there. And I love looking up on the weather things and finding out information. And Lake Argyle, which was only 60% full a few months ago, is now 153% full. I can't get that in my head. This can get it in your head. The spillway has a 5-metre wall of water going over it. 5 metres. That is amazing. But then I think of this. That's a picture of how it is when we come to know Jesus. Have we come to understand this? That God has poured into our lives and soul all the fullness of his blessings. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You are like a dam overflowing. And you are meant to allow that dam to overflow and to bless all those around you. To bless God. To bless Christians. To bless those who are lost. How are you going? Is it all dammed up? Or are you allowing the blessing to flow? We need Christians in this day to really be a blessing, to touch lives around us. We have become so insulated, so isolated, so selfish, affected by our world. We need to break down that wall and allow the blessings to flow. God wants to use us. He's a God of great goodness and blessing. He wants to pour his blessing to others through us. Well, we're going to sing a song now that if we live this out, we will indeed be a blessing to others. What do you think of that last verse? May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him, seeing only him. I can't help but think of the Apostle Paul there. What do you think? There he is, he's serving. There he is, strengthening. There he is, supplying needs. And as he does all that, what are the people seeing? The people are seeing Jesus. They're seeing a real Saviour who they can know personally by coming to love and trust him. Well, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity we have each Sunday to come together. We thank you for your great, sacred and special word. Thank you even for a passage this morning that just gives us some history of the life of Paul. And yet even as we look at it, we see great lessons. We look at Paul and we go, wow. Look at how he walks, look at how he talks, look at how he lives. But thank you, Father, he's such a wonderful picture of a man who is full and overflowing, blessed to be a blessing. And I look at that even for myself and I feel ashamed because we don't live like that. So often we are not being the blessing we should be to other people. Please would you help not just me, Lord, but all of us to realize how blessed we are, that we might be a people who truly are liberated from all the things that hold us back. That we might be a people who love to serve and to strengthen and to supply the needs of all those about us, especially in regard to helping other people come to see Jesus. We want people to see Jesus. We want to just be a channel that they might see him. Father, please would you speak to all of us. If we have been selfish, if we've been caught up in the ways of this world, please would you break that and help us to be liberated, to be a people set free for your glory. Please would you help us to, even today, may you speak to us and challenge us and encourage us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.